All right, let's turn back to 1 John chapter 5, please. And I want to finish the sermon that I started this morning. I'm not going to leave that unfinished. All right. I got home and my wife said, "Way to go. You just told everybody in Carol Christian they could bop somebody in the nose." No, I didn't. I didn't exactly say that, no. No, I didn't. Whether it was West Virginia or Maryland, I would have said the same thing. Come home bruised up all over the place. Big old bully. All right, let's begin, please, again. And let me remind you where we were this morning. But we start in verse 11, and it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." You know, there are several things in the Bible that you and I can know. We can know. We don't have to speculate on. We don't have to hope. No, there are some things that we can just know. And I have said to you many, many times from behind this pulpit that my salvation is not a hope-so salvation. No, it's a no-so salvation. Paul said that, "For I know in whom I have believed." I know. Paul said, "I know," and I hope that every one of us in this room and everybody listening to this message can say without question or without doubt, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." That's one thing you can know, all right? And the point I made this morning is that that even though in verse 19 we read that the whole world lieth in the arms of the wicked one, all right? Satan can't do anything about the fact that our salvation is a no-so salvation, all right? There's absolutely nothing the devil can do to keep us from knowing Christ as our Savior and having an eternal home in heaven that awaits us. Absolutely nothing. Now, I think that is one doctrine or one matter that once a believer gets that settled and you know that 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 you're saved, when you know that, man, it just gives you a peace in your heart. There's absolutely nothing the devil can do to get you unsaved. He didn't save you. God saved you. And therefore, he cannot do anything about it. All right? So he's powerless. Now, there's a second thing that the devil cannot do. A second thing. Look at verse 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask," what are the next two words? Anything, exactly. "If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, We what? Know. All right, so here's another thing that we know. What did you say, Pastor, what's that? Well, we know, look at the rest of the phrase, that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So here's the second thing that we know. First of all, we know the Savior, the Lord Jesus, nothing the devil can do about that. Absolutely nothing. But then secondly, John says here that Christ answers our prayers. As a child of God, as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that God answers prayer. That's what Paul says here, or John. I preach from Paul so much lately, I'm calling John Paul. Probably call Paul John, but anyway, you get where I'm going. So God answers our prayer, all right? So two things that the devil, and remember, he's not God. The devil is not God. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent, all-powerful. And he's not immutable, unchanging. God is. But the devil's not. And so he may be the God of this world, but he is not our God. Not at all. God is our God. And so here are two areas where the devil is not God and where he has no authority whatsoever. None. And the first is, he has no authority over my salvation. And then secondly, he has no authority over my throne rights. None. None. I can come boldly before the throne of grace. As a matter of fact, I am admonished to come boldly before the throne of grace. It's not like the Lord says, well, you guys can pray if you want to. No, it's, hey, try me. Try me. You've got throne rights. Why don't you use them? You can come and ask anything in my will for your life, and I'll answer that. You know what that means? That means, dear friend, when you sit down in the morning and open your Bible and begin to read the Bible and you say, Lord, would you give me understanding of your word? That's in God's will. That's in the will of God. God wants all of us to know his word. So God will, the Lord Jesus will answer that prayer. He'll help you. Lord, I want to be a soul winner. You pray that prayer, listen, there is nothing that would be an encouragement and a blessing to the heart of our Savior than for anybody in this room to say to the Lord, I want to be a soul winner. You pray towards that end, apply yourself, and God will use you to win souls. I just keep thinking about Chuck... both of these Chucks over here, the one in front, raise your hand, that one right there, old hillbilly. You know, I would have never seen him just walk right up to people and ask them, if they died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And Chuck DeGasperi, did I say your name right? That's close, DeGasperi, okay. I never would imagine you doing that. You always, I've known you for a long time, and I always thought, man, you're a shy fella. But you're not, are you? No, that boldness just comes out when he starts telling people about Jesus. And how many people now have you led to Christ? You. Yes, Chuck, on the back. Three? How many of you?
I'm somewhere around 20 or 30.
20 or 30?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, folks, God will answer prayer. And the devil can't do anything about our throne rights. Isn't that good to know? It doesn't make any difference if it's 7:30 in the morning or 7:30 at night. It doesn't make any difference whether it's cold outside or it's hot outside. None of that matters. It doesn't make any difference whether it's January or August. It just doesn't matter. You and I have the blessed privilege of coming to the Lord Jesus, to God our Father, through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and we have the promise here that He will give us the petitions that we desire of Him. What's your need today, Christian? What is your need? Well, listen, Philippians 4 said, "But my God shall supply all your need." It doesn't say needs. All right? It's all your need. One big package. God will supply all your need because He is a God who hears and answers prayer. And the devil can't do anything about it. Listen, the devil can maybe build a wall around you. He might be able to then take that wall and fortify it and make it thicker and thicker and thicker and deeper and deeper. He may be able to do that, but mark it down, he cannot put a roof on it. Cannot put a roof on it. Oh no, you can always talk to the Father. Why? Because you have throne rights. And the devil can't do anything about that. So let's think about this matter of the throne rights tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, help us now. I pray Your Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and use it and bless it in our lives. And Father, help us to take Your Word at face value. What is written here is for our edification. And so, Father, help us to just read the Bible and believe what the Bible says. Give us, Father, I pray, faith to believe Your Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I not only have the promise of eternal life, which the devil cannot stop, he cannot influence, and he cannot touch, but I also have, until I get to heaven personally, I have the avenue of prayer that makes it seem like I'm already there. All right? I'm already there. I can talk to the Lord anytime. Have you ever been awakened in the middle of the night? And you wonder, well, you know, why did I just wake up? Maybe the Lord just wants to fellowship a little bit. Do you ever stop to think about that? That could very well be what's going on there. That just well could be. I mean, God wants to fellowship with us. And so, until I get to heaven, I have the avenue of prayer. And I can use it anytime I want. You see, the whole world lieth in the arms of the wicked one, but as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have access to the throne, to the Father's throne in heaven. My relationship with Him gives me confidence. You see, I'm saved. I know that. It's written right here in the book. I'm confident of that. And now that I'm saved, then I can have confidence that as one of His children, I can go and ask Him anything in His will, and He'll give it to me. Now, I don't think you can go out of here tonight and say, Lord, I'd sure like to have a brand new Porsche Cayenne. All right? That's probably not his will for you. All right? You see what I'm saying? But wouldn't it be great if you were to ask the Lord to plug you in somewhere in the church here so you could serve him? Wouldn't that be awesome? And I'll tell you, if you do pray that prayer, you're going to find the Lord is going to answer that prayer for you. I don't know how many folks have told me through the years that they started coming to church here, and they said I would sit here and look up in the choir, and I would think, man, I'll never get in that choir. And after about 2 years, they're in the choir. I said, well, you should have been careful what you told God you wouldn't do. Better be careful what you tell God you won't do. I told the Lord when the Lord was dealing with me about going into the ministry, I told the Lord, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. Well, you better be careful what you tell him you don't want to do. I mean, the Lord has a tremendous sense of humor. He really does. And you just might be surprised what the Lord will then ask you to do. I mean, because I'm in Christ, because I believe in the Lord Jesus, and through that belief have been made one of his children, I have confidence to come to him as my Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, my children grew up knowing that their daddy loved them. They grew up knowing that, and they know that today. I've never done anything to dissuade that opinion. I love them. I have from the beginning. Their mother has too. And we have raised our children in a peaceful and loving home, and my children don't doubt it. They don't. Well, folks, listen, ever since I've gotten saved, I don't doubt that my Heavenly Father loves me. Amen. You know, he's done things for me that I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that I would get to do. I mean, to preach where the Lord has enabled me to preach, absolutely amazing. If you had told me that one day I would be standing up at the National Sword of the Lord Conference and preaching, I would have laughed at you. There's no way. If you had told me that I would go to Pensacola Christian College and preach to 6,000 people at one time. I mean, you get out about 15 rows and all you see are round things looking at you. It's the scariest thing in the world. You say something, it might be a little comical, and there's like a 5 second delay in laughter. You know, it throws you. You're standing there preaching your spleen out, and they're all looking over your head. You know why? Because over your head is a big old screen, and your face is on that screen. Oh, it's intimidating as it can be. But you just do what the Lord leads you to do. Just get up and preach, just like here. You know, there's no difference. No difference. You say, well, Pastor, I would pray more, but, you know, I really don't understand prayer. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know that I do either. But that doesn't keep me from praying. I don't understand electricity, but I turn the light on when I go into a dark room. You know? I don't understand gravity. I don't understand it, but I believe in it. All right?
You get up here on top of this building and step off, you'll find out what gravity is real fast. I don't understand it, but I sure do believe in it. And that's the exact same way it is with prayer. I don't understand heating and air conditioning. You know, I have two heat pumps outside my house. I have two boilers down in my basement. One's big, one's little. And in the wintertime, those heat pumps come on and heat comes out the registers. Then in the summertime, it gets hot out and those things come on outside and cool air comes through. I don't understand that, but I'm telling you, when it's cold, I sure do like that, don't you? I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you know, I don't understand how air conditioning works. I mean, the same thing that makes the heat is the same thing that makes the cooling. I don't get that. So therefore, I'm going to sit here and freeze to death in the wintertime and roast in the summertime. Well, I'd be a moron, wouldn't I? He said, good grief, Pastor, read a book about it. I don't have time. I just don't have time to read books on how stuff works. All right? He said, Pastor, I just don't know. I mean, the Bible over and over and over tells me that I'm supposed to pray. So if the Bible tells me to do so, I guess I should. Yes, you should. You have right of access to the throne of God. Wouldn't it be a shame for you not to use it? Yes, it would be. You see, this is just God's way of doing things. Just as God decided to order and maintain his creation through various laws that he just built in to nature, well, he has decided to work in the realm of the spiritual through the matter of prayer. And you know, we have not because we ask not. And I've heard people say, well, you know, the Lord just doesn't answer my prayer. And I always want to say, but wait a minute, that's contrary to the Bible. What do you mean the Lord doesn't answer your prayer? Well, he doesn't answer my prayer. I think he does. I don't think the problem's with God. I think the problem is with you. You know? You know, we can pray for everything and not really pray for anything. Did you know that? We can. Lord, bless all the missionaries in the world. Well, that's a lot of missionaries. That's a lot of missionaries. Lord, just bless all the Bible-believing churches in America. Well, I think we ought to have God bless the Bible-believing churches in America. But man, we need to zero in. Amen. We have not because we ask not. Get specific with God. Get specific with God. You see, here's the point, folks. Don't be bothered with the philosophical aspect of prayer. Just claim the promises and pray. That'll help. That'll make a world of difference right there. And here's the good part. It is my relationship with the Lord that gives and guarantees me a hearing. It guarantees a hearing with the Lord. I am his and he is mine. I have the Holy Spirit that gives me utterance while I'm praying. When I don't know how to pray, it is the Holy Spirit of God who helps me to know how to pray. That's what that verse means in Romans 8. And so we have a part in the family. And God has chosen for us here, God has chosen for us to pray, and the Holy Spirit of God takes our prayer and gives it to the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus gives it to God, and God says, here's the answer. He just gives us the answers, gives us the blessings that we need. Folks, we ought to pray every week. We ought to pray, Lord, let souls be saved Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then come to church after inviting folks to come. We had some folks this morning who said that they invited their family member to come to church and were standing out in the hallway. And I said, well, did they tell you they were going to come? And they both of them said, well, no, not really. I said, but you're standing out here waiting on them. Yeah, I think they're going to come. And sure enough, they did. They did. Oh, how we need a heart for praying for souls to be saved and praying for God to bless, praying for the power of the Holy Spirit of God when the singing is going on, when the preaching is going on. Folks, this is what is called in theology, this is what is called a cause and effect matter. Now, the cause is prayer, and the effect is God answering the prayer. Instead of sometimes God doing things directly, God sometimes does them indirectly. And it seems to me that prayer works much the same way. We don't understand all the philosophical aspects to prayer, but we do understand that we have a Savior, a Redeemer, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He wants to answer our prayers. Oh, how we need to pray. Pray for, start now. That's why I asked you last week. Start now praying for the Living Cross. Make it a matter of prayer every day. We pass those tickets out. We put those flyers in people's hands. We put them up in the stores. And people walk by and see them. Listen, let Westminster and Carroll County know. Let them know what's going on. And then pray and ask God, give the harvest. Give the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. All right, so now, listen. Hearing, I said, my relationship is what gives me a hearing. And obviously, hearing is not something mechanical. That's not what John says. I don't think John is talking about that, all right? He said, we know. And I don't think that John is referring here to something mechanical, you know? Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, if I should die before I wake, good night. You know, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food that we just ate. You know, I don't think that impresses the Lord. I never let my children pray those prayers. Never. Never. I taught them to pray. Amen. To talk to God. Many a night sitting on the side of the bed and teaching them how to pray, showing them how to pray, and then praying with them. It's not mechanical, folks. The word heareth is a very special word in this chapter, and it is one that is literally just full of meaning. And one of the things that is connected to it is the fact that God's ears are open to us. The idea is his heart is enlarged toward us. Remember in school, there seemed to always be, you know, the teacher's pet. That never was me. I was the teacher's object lesson. Go stand in the corner, boy. I had a lot of energy when I was little. I know that surprises you. I know. John is saying that as a believer, we can have the Lord's ear. We can have the Lord's ear. You know, that does not mean that the teacher never heard anything anybody else said. All right? We just kind of look and say, oh, well, you know, the teacher's pet. Teacher's pet. She hears everything the teacher's pet said. No, no, a teacher hears everything that's said. They take note of everything. Oh, by the way, our God is omniscient. Amen. And he knows not only what we say, but he knows what we're thinking. And here's one that'll blow you away. He knows what we're thinking even before we think it. And John is saying that as a believer, we have God's ear. You remember in John 9, the Jews commonly held that that God did not hear, God, the term was, heareth not the sinner's prayer. All right? The Jews commonly held that. Oh, the God heareth not the sinner's prayer. Well, listen, a sinner, an unsaved sinner, does not have the ear of God, and his heart is not enlarged toward them. The world lieth in the arms of the wicked one, but as a believer in Christ, we have the ear of God. God hears us. We are his children. We are his children. We had a lady in our church when we were at Dixie, and her child had syndrome where when she was asleep, and this was back before they knew what to do with it, and where child would go to sleep and then just stop breathing. All right? She just quit breathing. And so we'd be sitting around, and Nancy would jump up, and she'd say, "Move, move, move, my baby's not breathing." And she'd run, and here she'd come with the baby, and the baby's squalling and carrying on. And we said, "Nancy, how'd you know your baby wasn't breathing?" "Oh, I know. I know. I know when that baby's not breathing." I said, "Seriously, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know." She knew exactly. I don't know how she knew, but as a mother, she had that instinct. And she knew her baby was not breathing. Didn't she, Karen? She would get up all the time and she would say, "My baby's not breathing," and run down the hall. Then you'd hear that baby crying. It's amazing. Well, I'm telling you, folks, that little baby had mama's ear. And God has yours. God's ear is attuned to you. Yeah. But we have not because we ask not. What do you need? Your children need to come back to the Lord? Pray about that. Amen. Pray about it. You know, I don't know what else to tell you, but make it a matter of prayer. Dr. Rice used to say all the time that all of our failures are prayer failures. That's true, isn't it? One of the greatest privileges that any of us have is the ability to simply say, "Dear Heavenly Father." That's the greatest privilege right there we have. The devil can build that wall. You think, "Wow, I can't get out of here." Yeah, you can, because he can't put a roof on it. You just pray, and the Lord will hear your prayers. Now, maybe someone sitting here tonight, you say, "Pastor, I'm discouraged." Well, aren't we all? You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm beaten up." Yeah, all of us are. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm just so tired of fighting the battle." Yep. We all can identify with you. We're all in the same boat. "Well, Pastor, I just want the Lord to come back." Amen. Me too. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want the Lord to come back. And, you know, just think about that for a minute. Are you a believer in the Lord? Yes. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Well, listen, my friend, for all of eternity, you will be in heaven with the Lord. And listen, when we get up there, everything's going to be grand and glorious. But realize that we're not there yet. And there is a real devil. The whole world is in his arms. He is the God, small g, of this world. But we have access to the God of heaven. So until we get there, here's the good news. Anytime, anywhere, you and I can simply say, "Dear Heavenly Father," and everything stops. And it's almost like God just reaches down to your little wall that the devil has pinned you in on and lifts you up out of that and says, "Yes, son, what can I do for you? What do you need? Tell me what's on your heart." And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What a God we serve, folks. So here's the point. Until you get to heaven, cheer up. Because you've got throne rights. Now use them. And let God make a difference in your life. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. We thank you for this right of access that we have to your throne. And Father, I pray you'll help us as believers to get the gravity of this and just realize what we have in the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'll stir our hearts tonight to want to pray more. I think Dr. Rice nailed it when he said that all our failures are prayer failures. So Father, help us tonight to get serious about praying for matters that are heavy on our hearts. Until we get to heaven, it's good to know we don't have to walk through life by ourselves. We have the right to approach your throne and get your help. So Father, give us faith to do that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.